Audrey Fair, Friday, Saturday, 10 to 4, and to consider supporting the now the Senate bill, which is in HEP. Thanks.
Representative Nicolai.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to bring up my reconsideration vote on House Bill 183.
Notice of reconsideration on committee substitute House Bill 183 finance has been brought up and is now before us. Will the clerk please read the bill for the third and final time?
Yes, for House Bill number 183 finance amended by the House Finance Committee entitled An Act Directing the Identification and Delineation of a Transportation and Utility Corridor between Fairbanks and the Seward Peninsula and Providing for an Effective Date.
Representative Brown.
Under debate.
Madam
Speaker, I wanted to have a little bit of discussion about this bill. I voted no on the original vote for several reasons. First of all, it seems like that the main reason for this bill is so that we can extend the rail corridor. And my question would be, if this is a prudent business decision, why isn't the railroad doing it? Why is it becoming a responsibility of the state in general? Madam Speaker, what's proposed here is that we go forward, presumably in the near future, and identify a corridor that is not serving any particular resource development or other specific identified use. I think it's most likely that a corridor would, in fact, be needed at the time that a particular mineral development or other specific use or need for it was identified, and I just question whether in the absence of knowing what specifically it is we're trying to accomplish, how we can define a corridor as narrow as 500 feet out of this large area. The final comment I'd like to make about it is that it's an expensive proposition to establish this corridor. The fiscal notes that came on the bill showed it would cost $7 million over a two-year period, employ 25 people. Madam Speaker, that's a lot of money in the context of the budget that we are dealing with. And while the Finance Committee zeroed those notes out and put a zero fiscal note on it so that it would not be requesting immediate funding this year, we'll still be establishing a task, and this task will compete with other priorities in future budgets for funding. And if we don't intend that it gets funded at some point, why are we passing this bill? It seems to me that there are much higher uses for our $7 million than to establish a corridor of this type. And although I can appreciate the desire to deal with some of the land status and land use questions, in my mind, those things just don't rise to the priority that I would like to see us set this process in motion. So those are my reasons for voting no.
Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Just on those comments, it seemed like we spent about the same amount of money for 1 mile road in Spinard as would create this corridor all the way to Nome.
Representative James.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to rise to speak in favor of this motion and to respond to the representative from District the 15. And it's amazing to me that as I look around this body, that I find very, very few people here that have vision past next week. And one of the things that we're looking as we're going into the future and into the 21st century, there's generations coming beyond us that we want to be sure that they have an opportunity to do what needs to be done in the state. I believe that now, while we are finishing up our state land selections, while we're looking towards the future and see what the future of the state might want to hold, that it is a very intelligent thing to put an authorization on the books for a corridor from Fairbanks to the Seward Peninsula, because someday in the future, I am absolutely positive we're going to need some access across that route. and putting this authorization on the book only establishes that we will take a look at that at some future time. I had not requested any funds for this bill this year and have no intentions of offering any funds. The way the bill is structured is that even if someone out in that area would determine that there was a large amount of resources that could be developed, that the authorization for getting from here to there would be on the books if they wanted to spend their own money to find this delineation of this corridor. So I think it's a wise and prudent thing for us to have this forward look as to what the future of our state might be like, and it stays on the books to 2055, as whether it's funded or not, and I think that tells the world that we're interested in any future development that might come around.
Representative Nicolai.
In response to the representative from District 34's vision, the vision of my district is that they don't want a railroad going through their backyard. They don't want the impacts on their subsistence lifestyles. They have seen what the Alaska Railroad is today, is that the Alaska Railroad today has been a big deficit in the past, and it will continue to cost the state more money. And they really don't make a lot of money, a lot of revenue. And so just to give you that vision, that my district does not want this railroad, and they have not written any letters in support of this project.
Representative Sitton.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in support of this measure, but in doing so, I want to attempt to sway the charming, bright, intelligent, and witty, and caring member from District 15 to join me in voting for this. I would point out, Madam Speaker, that when the Transcontinental Railroad in the Lower 48 was finished in 1848 or 1849, Terry Martin was there, at that time, Madam Speaker, there was no demand for the railroad, and there were no resources identified or anything. Progress, resource identification, and growth all followed the railroad. And so, in the interior of Alaska, where the enlightened people of District 31 are overwhelmingly in favor of this measure, we recognize that we would like to have access to some of the state's wealth. We recognize that we can't always suck, Madam Speaker, at the petroleum pit in the state, and that one day we have to develop other resources.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I don't know if I'm one of the members who doesn't have vision pass next week or not. Some days I don't have vision pass going home at the end of the day. But I certainly try to have that vision, and the vision I have is a state with declining revenues, a situation where we're going to have to use all of our many of our one-time sources just to get through the year, where we have a relatively bleak future on the subject of revenues. And I know in the area I live in, we can barely maintain what we have. And I think it's true around the state. We can barely maintain the roads we have right now. And I think the idea that we're going to be able to do this someday is a pipe dream. I think if it was to occur, it'd be completely inappropriate. And I think at this time we should try to solve the problems we really do have in the state. We have a serious revenue problem, and this kind of authorization for expenditure, it may not be an appropriation, but it's authorization for a multi-million dollar expenditure is inappropriate, and I oppose it.
Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I have a question of the sponsor. On page 2 of the legislation, on lines 24 and 25. I'm curious what the ramification of that is. It says the requirements of the Alaska Land Act relating to classification and reclassification of land are inapplicable to actions taken under this section. Above that, it says that DNR shall promptly classify and reclassify and reserve any state land within the corridor, and then this subsection says that the normal procedures and requirements regarding declassification don't apply. And I'm just kind of curious if the sponsor is envisioning some other system for that classification process, or if the process of selecting the corridor itself will replace the classification system. I don't believe I've ever seen that before, that Title 38 simply won't apply to state land classification, and that troubles me, Madam Speaker.
Representative James.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and I've just misplaced my bill here. Wait, I did find it. Hold on a minute.
I knew I had saved it somewhere, but I had in this place where I saved it. Actually, if you read that 3805, and it is talking about classification and reclassification of land and the required public input to that classification, it would make the reclassification of the land to its existing classification to a classification for a corridor without going through that process.
House stand at ease, and I'm going to place a call on the house, and we're still going to stand at ease. Prior to the time we stood at ease, we were under the debate. Minority Leader was seeking the floor. Madam Minority Leader.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. During the break, I prepared an amendment to delete subsection E, and I did speak with the sponsor of the legislation who said she did not have any objection to it. Is that correct? That is correct. So at this time, Madam Speaker, I would like to move that we return to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment.
Objection? Hearing none, we're in second reading for the
Thank
purposes
you.
Of a specific amendment.
The clerk does have a copy, and I believe it is being duplicated, but if members would turn to their bill, it is on page 2, lines 24 and 25. The amendment deletes subsection E, and I would move the amendment at this time.
Amendment has been moved. Is there objection? Hearing none, the amendment has been... There is objection. Oh. Gail. House, please come back to order. House, please come back to order. Order. The objection is maintained. Is there further debate on the amendment, Madam Minority Leader?
Madam Speaker, subsection E, which I'm proposing that we delete, would eliminate the requirement of 3805, which applies to all classification and reclassification of state lands. The reason Title 38 is extremely important is because that is the public's opportunity to express their opinions with regard to land classification decisions in this state. If you leave Section E in, the impact of that will be to simply trust DOT when they go through the corridor identification process, and because on lines 15 and 16, you're saying that the Department of Natural Resources shall promptly classify and reserve that land identified by the corridor for uses of the corridor. Nobody else will have any say whatsoever about the classification decision. So, Madam Speaker, it really is a bad idea to simply trust DOT to move forward with corridor identification without any public hearing whatsoever as required under 3805 before the land gets classified. It is hard for me to believe, Madam Speaker, that we are seriously contemplating doing that. It doesn't matter if DOT holds hearings with regard to the original corridor unless you have the teeth that allows DNR to weigh and balance alternative land uses. You could, Madam Speaker, end up having DOT propose a corridor in a particular location, which is very contrary to economic development proposals. You might have an area where DOT is saying, go this way for purposes of the corridor for the railroad, which is also going right through an area that has been identified for potential mining. And unless you have Title 38 in place and operating as the public hearing process, you won't have a way of other interests in the state, including mining interests, to have a voice before that land gets classified for the corridor instead of for other uses. Madam Speaker, we had this debate over the applicability of Title 38 in the context of Chapter 66 in the mental health lands debate. And one of the biggest reasons that there were serious problems with the actual implementation of Chapter 66 is because this body, for whatever reason at the time, decided that it wasn't necessary to follow Title 38. We have the same issue applicable here. You need this process that 3805 lays out to allow that balancing before the corridor gets finalized by the classification decision. Subsection E definitely should come out, Madam Speaker. And I'm sorry that there wasn't more adequate debate on this before, but frankly, I didn't notice it until I was sitting here and realized what was being proposed here. And I think any assertion that it will simply be adequate for DOT to hold a public hearing on the corridor does not really deal with the heart of the issue, which is land use. DOT will hold a hearing as to whether or not a particular corridor makes sense from the standpoint of transportation. But DNR's land use decisions are much broader than that, and it relates to these other questions of potential economic development. Madam Speaker, this is really important, and I realize that some folks are very resistant to the idea of minority amendments. Some people are very resistant to the idea of looking at a piece of legislation later and saying, whoops, maybe we missed this one and it shouldn't have been in there. But I would ask people to open up their minds on this one and realize what we are doing here. It has long-term ramifications, not just to the villages and to the people who live there, but to the potential developers who may want to use this land for other economic development in the future. I urge members to vote yes.
Representative James.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and I rise to speak against the amendment. And I'd like to draw the body's attention to the top page of page two of the bill. And if I could read those, Madam Speaker, the things that the department will consider when they're determining where this corridor will be, which is the grade and alignment standards that are commensurate with the rail and road construction standards, availability of construction materials, safety, impacts on and service to adjacent communities, significant environmental concerns, use of public land to the maximum degree possible, and minimization of probable construction costs. I believe that the delineation of this corridor would be hampered by going through the requirements of 3805. I think the bill is good with that requirement to not have that be applicable in this situation, and I urge the body to vote no on the amendment.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm going to try to paraphrase the testimony that we had in Finance Committee, and I hope other members can help me out on this, because we had the same concern as expressed by the minority leader. And basically, as I recall the discussion at that time, that something, you got someone sitting in DOT's or DNR's office looking at a possible corridor that could possibly be developed. And the question at that time then, did these things apply while they were just developing the concept, or should they apply after they had some idea and then wish to proceed on that idea? And what we were told is that they should not apply until we had some idea what wanted to be done. And at that time, all of the rules and regulations would be applicable to the permitting process and so forth that would be done. And for that reason, we left the section in the bill.
Dave Davies, you were taking the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This, the minority leader made what I think is an important comparison to the process that we've gone through under Chapter 66. And I think that anybody who's dealt with that for very long realizes that these issues of classification, reclassification are can be very contentious issues. And I suspect, I mean, I would just point out that one of the things that's held up the Chapter 66 is essentially the threat of lawsuits. that would ensue if the proper procedures were not followed. And I think that if there's an attempt to effectively classify land without going through Title 38, that we will just wrap ourselves around the axle. And I think we should have learned this lesson by now. We should have learned it in the attempt to, with the Cordova Road, for example, that if we want to get there from here, the quickest way to do it is to do it under the law. If we try to sidestep it and we try to evade it, it'll just take us longer to get there. And I, you know, in a much more complicated circumstance than this, namely Chapter 66, we are following Title 38 to the letter. And I see no, you know, there isn't any particular, I don't think that the thing will be held up very much by that. It's quite possible, for example, for DOT and DNR to hold joint hearings, to hold them simultaneously. It's quite possible to do this and satisfy the requirements of the law and not cause any extra time in the process, just simply that the public is satisfied that the right considerations are made when you classify and reclassify land. And if we don't do that, I submit that it will just take us longer, it'll cost us more money, and more consternation.
Madam Minority Leader.
Madam Speaker, when I stood on this floor and moved to go back to second reading, I stated that I had checked with the sponsor of the legislation and that she had no objection to the amendment, and she nodded her head yes. And that is because during the first sittings at which I prepared this amendment, I spoke with her about it, and that is what she told me. After the last at ease, she came to me and told me that she had been reminded by others as to why it was in and that she would then object to the amendment. I am putting this on the record, Madam Speaker, because I do not like to stand up on this floor and relate to the body that a sponsor has no objections to amendments and then have the sponsor say that she does have an objection to the amendment without the full body understanding, number one, that I did not misrepresent her position, but that she changed her mind. And I guess there's nothing wrong with changing one's mind, but I guess I think because this is a public body and because there is a record that is maintained and because there is a tape recording going, I don't want something to take place during an at-ease, off the record, that is not clearly then put on the record, which may lead people to some other conclusion. So, Madam Speaker, I'm sorry that the sponsor had her mind changed at the intervening break, but I would like to remind members that the language which is in the bill discussing what it is that DOT holds a hearing on has absolutely nothing to do with other potential land uses for the land to be identified by the corridor. On the top of page 2, A through G, it lists the things that DOT is supposed to consider when they hold their hearing. And sure, it talks about things like availability of construction materials and safety and environmental concerns, but it doesn't say a thing about the potential of other economic development activities or community development needs, for that matter, housing, mining, whatever, that may be a more important use of that land before DNR classifies it for a transportation purpose. That's what's at issue here, Madam Speaker, and that's why it is more appropriate that we leave in the provision that allows DNR, that requires DNR to go through the Title 38 process of public hearing and adequate notice and community involvement and private sector comments so that people can make wise land use decisions. Otherwise, we're simply trusting DOT to somehow magically know all of that and try to anticipate what other entities have an interest in this land. Madam Speaker, that is really bad public policy. And I would really encourage members not to feel as though they're locked into something on this floor, but to think about it and vote for this amendment.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in support of the amendment. The list that the minority leader was just discussing does not cover the important issue of competing uses, existing land encumbrances. And I'm thinking about this, these are things that would come up and be an integral part of a decision to reclassify the land. For example, what if there is an oil lease there. What if there is an existing mining claim within the particular 500 feet corridor where the transportation route is proposed to go? By expressly considering that, you have existing private encumbrances or rights for use of that land, you might decide to move the corridor one direction or the other to accommodate those. And by not expressly accounting for that, that whole item would just never come to light. So we do need to adopt this amendment to be sure that the process covers the things that it should cover. The co-chair of finance discussed what we talked about in the finance committee, and I think what he's referring to is way down the road when you get ready to build a particular road or a particular railroad track, not the designation of the corridor, which the point of is to keep incompatible uses from being given out in that area, but down the road when you get ready to construct it, yes, there would be a permitting process associated with those particular things, but there does need to be a process at the time the land is classified. And so I would just one further note on the Chapter 66 discussion. I thought it was very enlightening and interesting that both the resource development companies themselves and as well the environmental community feel that Title 38 should apply to the management of mental health trust lands. The Title 38 process is not something that companies involved in development in this state have a problem with. In fact, I think they believe that an orderly process serves not only their interests, but the public interest as well.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I appreciate the point that the co-chair of finance made that if we've got very preliminary efforts that don't involve major concerns of the public, that maybe the requirements of our land regulations shouldn't take effect. But I can't imagine how someone could think that this is the case here. We're talking about the selection of a route, the classification of land along that corridor, and the acquisition of right-of-ways. These are the major considerations that go into a development of a corridor such as this. The only hearings you have off in the future that are going to be ones on actually the appropriation of the money, and there's not going to be at that time debate about acquisition of the right-of-way, the choices of the corridor route, because those decisions will already be made. The question before us is a relatively simple one. Are the issues involved in the classification of land and acquisition of right-of-way across a huge portion of this state that's completely roadless at this point, are those issues of enough concern to our citizens that we ought to allow public hearings to occur, or ought to require public hearings to occur under our normal land process, just the way we would for a tiny little activity in some other part of the state? Is this project worthy of that kind of public input and opportunity for the public to express their views? There's no reason to conclude that the department has to act upon those views, but should our citizens be allowed to express their views on this issue? Well, I certainly believe it is. I haven't seen many issues come before us that have as many implications for citizens of our state as this, and to deny them the requirement of a public hearing is, I think, a very bad precedent.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to ask unanimous consent to move back up the calendar to introduction of guests very briefly. In the Paradovich Gallery,
we're on debate on something. We finished that before we go to introduction of guests. However, since we've already begun, without objection, we will return to introduction of guests.
Thank you for your help there. In the Paradovich Gallery, we have a couple of teachers down. A teacher and a member of the support staff of our school district from Fairbanks. In the Paradovich Gallery, we have Alexander McFarland, the president of the Fairbanks Education Association, and Scott Bidwell, the president of the ESSA, which is the support staff. Would you please help me welcome them to Juneau?
additional debate on Amendment Number 3, Representative Sitton.
Madam Speaker, I rise in support of this amendment because I think it will make a good bill better. And I believe, Madam Speaker, that the Superior Court caseload in the state is sufficient without us adding to it by not doing this amendment. So let's be reasonable and adopt this amendment and get this bill passed out of here.
Representative James.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm very encouraged to hear people begin to talk that we do have some need for a road out there because we might have some minerals and some oil and so forth, which you can't get to from here. So I'm very encouraged with that conversation. I would like to remind the body, however, we're talking about a 500-foot strip. It has no comparison to the lands and the mental health problem that we have. But we're talking about sections of land that need to be reclassified. There are some provisions that we have already on the books to reclassify small areas when it is in the state's best interest to do that without a public hearing. I don't believe we need a public hearing on this one as is related in 3805, and I urge the body to vote no on this amendment.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I've been trying to see just what we may or may not be overlooking here, and I'm looking at the current requirement in the bill to have the report and the works of establishing this corridor, and I think we ought to remember that that's what we're doing here, is just establishing literally a pathway through certain criteria here. But the commissioner, in this particular case of administration, has to comply with Alaska Statute 4462. This is the Administrative Procedures Act, and that's the reason that I took a minute to take a look at it. And 4462-190, Madam Speaker, requires a notice of proposed action at least 30 days before the adoption of a regulation, in this particular case the action here, to be published in a newspaper of general circulation or trade, industry publications, mailed to every person who's filed a request for a notice. If it's within a department, mailed or delivered to the commissioner of that department. When appropriate, the judgment of the agency, mailed to a person or group of persons, published in the additional form and manner the state agency prescribes, furnished to the Department of Law, furnished to all incumbent state Alaska legislators and the Legislative Affairs Agency, and on. So I feel at any rate, in establishing a corridor, that there are sufficient requirements on the part of the Department of, Commissioner of the Department of Transportation, to essentially make everyone know what they're doing here. And then I would see that the actions on the Department of Natural Resources following that, when some action was taking place to actually develop something along that corridor, the Department of Natural Resources would then come in and hold their necessary hearings. So I really question in my mind whether or not this amendment is necessary.
We are not going to spend all day on this amendment. I am not invoking Mason's Manual, Section 102. If you've spoken twice, you ain't speaking again. Anyone that hasn't spoken, Representative Davies?
Madam Speaker, this is my second and last time.
I understand.
The previous speaker said that then the Department of Natural Resources would come in and do their normal hearing. Well, if we don't pass this amendment, that won't happen because it specifically exempts them from doing that. So, and I would just finally ask the sponsor of the bill to tell me how DNR and DOT having joint hearings would hold up the process. I don't see what the resistance is. I really offer support for this amendment in the spirit that it will speed up the process.
Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I hadn't intended to speak, but since you invoked Mason's Manual 102, I decided that I'd better.
I knew you would.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I just would like the body to think about if your community was faced with a land reclassification and we told your community that we were not going to let DNR go through their regular public hearing reclassification, how outraged both the representatives from that community and the citizens and residents of that community would be. And that's exactly what we're saying here. The public hearing process and reclassification is designed to protect the public. And the public hearing process also can help identify both problems and other alternatives that might not be identified through the process that we're setting out here. So I think that the fear about a public hearing process is misguided.
Senator Mackey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I, too, feel the same way about this particular amendment. I think that we should pass it. I think that, you know, I voted in favor of the bill to pass the bill to take a look at the corridor and everything, and think that there's a lot of opportunity that could come from this. I think the bill's all right. But I think the last thing we should be doing is not giving, at least giving the people that live in that area the courtesy to voice their opinion to state agencies as to the effect of the corridor on their lives and on their communities. And I think the point's been well made, and I think that we should honor that. You know, that's a courtesy. State agencies have already demonstrated their ability to not listen to the public, but at least giving the public the opportunity to testify, I think, is really crucial in setting good public policy here. So it doesn't have anything to do with whether or not the bill, you know, is a good one or not, or whether or not the railroad should go through there. Those are two separate issues, and I think that the amendment should be passed, and it will make the bill much better.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment. Public discussion is always good, and the more we get, I think the better it is. And I think that to not pass this amendment, in fact, would change my vote for this bill, because I think that we need to go forward with the opening up of parts of our state, but not at the expense of shutting out any public discussion by those who are most directly impacted. And that includes us here on this floor. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Additional debate on amendment number one. If we're going to have much more debate, we're going to come back at 5 o'clock. Standing policy is when it gets to be 12 o'clock, if we still have considerable work left before us, we come back at 5. Representative James, are you wrapping up?
Yes, I am, Madam Speaker, and it's amazing how our memory can come back to us when it's really important. And the reason we don't need this amendment in this bill is because there will be no reclassification of the land use until the road is built. The delineation of the corridor will just leave the existing classification in place until such time as the road is built. So that is why that it says that we won't go through the reclassification process in the delineation of the corridor.
Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I hadn't planned to speak in, but I just have to ask the sponsor where in this law she finds what she just said. Not only does it require the reclassification of this land, but it requires that at the behest of the Department of Transportation, and the Department of Natural Resources is completely subjugated to the Department of Transportation. It says that if the Department of Transportation makes the conclusion approving this corridor, then Department of Resources shall classify or reclassify any state land within the corridor for use as a corridor, and shall exercise its authority to acquire rights away across land that, subject to legislative appropriation in the future, that they'll actually go out and they'll have the authority to use the state's power of condemnation to purchase private property that's in this corridor. So people are going to be severely affected by this. We've given them the power of condemnation here to go and make those purchases, and we've completely eliminated Department of Natural Resources from the process whatsoever. So again, I'd ask the sponsor how she, where in her bill she finds the basis for the statement she just made.
Further debate? Seeing none, members may proceed to vote. Any member fail to vote, will the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change their vote, will the clerk please tally the board?
17 yeas, 22 nays.
And so amendment number 3 has failed to be adopted. Brings the bill back before us in third and final reading. Under debate, Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'm getting a little discouraged at the process here. I'll put the question again before the body. The sponsor of this measure made a statement on the record before the people of the state that there would be no effect on reclassification of land, that would not occur until the actual construction was going to occur. I read the sections of her bill that apply to that, and either I'm mistaken
or she made a misstatement, I'd like to clarify it for the record.
Further debate. Representative Navarre.
Madam Speaker, I was glad to see the bill reconsidered. I was considering voting in favor of it today. With the absence of the amendment that we failed to adopt, I just simply cannot, in good conscience, vote for this legislation. I think that we have attempted to go around the public process, which is ridiculous. The public process works.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Well, I too will not be able to vote for this bill because of this, and I take it that the question as to whether the Department of Natural Resources will classify or not being unanswered means that the member from Anchorage is correct. And as I read the bill, that's the way I read it. It says very clearly, the Department of Natural Resources shall promptly classify or reclassify and reserve any state land within the corridor for use as a corridor. And, Madam Speaker, without having the department involved under Title 38, this bill is a sham of public process.
In as much as there is another amendment being delivered to the clerk's desk, we are under a call of the House. You will be confined of this building, and we will be back at 5 o'clock. I'll stand at ease.